All right, welcome back. Glad you're here. Hopefully some of you were here last week or you watched online and you got to hear the teaching from Rabbi Jeff Adler. Did we enjoy that? That was great. And so he and I are basically the same. I'm gonna speak a lot of Hebrew. I'm gonna sing to you in Hebrew today. It's gonna be awesome. That is not true. That's a joke. He is awesome. I really enjoyed learning from him, and the Hebrew stuff is really cool. But we are going to do one Hebrew word today, but it's very simple, and it's in my wheelhouse, so we're going to be okay. But this series, we're jumping into Ecclesiastes, not a book a lot of people turn to voluntarily or just out of, you know, a love for it, because it can be seen as very depressing. And I don't want to mislead you. It kind of is for about 11 chapters. So, but we're going to just kind of wrestle with some of the truths that it presents and see how we can learn from what we're being taught here. Because I think it's unique in a sense that a lot of the, especially Old Testament books, we read them and it feels like a different world, doesn't it? It's like, man, they just did things different than us. Their customs and culture and all that was so different. It's hard to really imagine ourselves in that world, but a lot of the stuff in Ecclesiastes, it feels pretty relevant to life today. I mean, there's a lot of tensions there. There are paradoxes, there are contradictions where you're like, he just said that, and now he's saying this, and those things don't match up. And then there's just highs and lows. Sometimes he's joyful and life is great, and sometimes he's miserable and is like, I wish I had never been born. And it's just all over the place. And I think that works well in our postmodern culture, that there are a lot of questions out there that, you know, used to we would pursue these yes or no answers, yes or no, black or white, good or bad. And now we just kind of have to wrestle with tension sometimes that there's not a yes or no on some questions. It's both or it's neither. Or so I think Ecclesiastes really speaks to that way of seeing the world very well, and we're going to find a lot there that we can connect to. So our passage today is going to be Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it's the passage that's in the song that was on the theme video, the Turn, Turn, Turn song, which Rabbi Adler wanted me to pass on a message. He told you last week that Bob Dylan wrote that song, and then he fact-checked himself on Monday and figured out it wasn't Bob Dylan, it was Bob Seger, and he felt like he betrayed your trust. So he wanted me to tell you that it wasn't Bob Dylan, in case some of you were up all week thinking about that. It was Bob Seger. So anyway, the song is taken from this text that we're going to read today, and it's just about time, how we view time. I think most of us have had experiences where we've just been smacked with the reality that life is short. Have you had those moments, those experiences? Maybe somebody that you care about got a diagnosis that just kind of hit you, and you're like, man, life is short. Maybe someone that you love passed away, and you thought, man, that's just not right. It's life is so short, and it makes you kind of go, I need to make the most of my time. I need to view my time differently. And then the moment passes, and we go right back to being sort of calendar-driven people, and we complain about being too busy, and I've got to be there and do this and go to that thing and post those photos so people know I really went. And then, you know, and it's like, who is telling us we have to do all of that? Like, who is making all these rules about how we have to fill up our time? And we live in this contradiction. We know life is short, and yet we do things with our time that, when you step back, just don't really make sense. And so I think that's what we're trying to get at through this text today, is how do we view the time that we have, and can we make some changes and see it more clearly? Can we develop a healthy view of time? So let's start with Ecclesiastes 3:1. If there's anything on the screen that is underlined, you may read or sing that aloud, your choice. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Nobody went for the singing. So okay. All right. I was counting on. It's all right. All right. A time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh. I asked for that. I walked right into it. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So again, that's familiar, and there's something about it that feels like it should be comforting, right? We're kind of drawn to this, and maybe this passage gets read at funerals or something, and it's supposed to be comforting. I don't think it's meant to be comforting. I don't personally find it comforting. If I was in a bad situation, if I was dealing with something difficult, a hardship, and you came and you put your arm around me and you go, Adam, it's just, there's a time for everything, and this is the time for life to stink for you, so... That's not comforting to me. Like, please don't do that. I mean, it may be true, but it's not that helpful, which is a reminder of a principle that we should all maybe write down and live by, that not everything that's true has to be said out loud. So just keep that in mind. So I don't think it's comforting. I think it's a caution. I think it's a warning. I think it's a nudge for us to take a look at what we do with our time and how we think about seasons in life. I think we want to have more control over the seasons of our life than we have. Do you agree with that? Like, we wish, I mean, if you're a farmer right now, Mike, you wish you had more control over the weather, right? Wouldn't that be great? If you could decide when it's going to rain and when it's going to be sunny, that would be wonderful, but you can't. We want retirement to come faster, or we want school to get over with quicker, or to not get over with, because real world is scary, and we wish we had control over time, and we just don't. And I think some of this is just a reminder that, hey, if you're out there trying to control the seasons of your life, you're gonna be really frustrated. You're just gonna stay like anxious about things. That's what worry is, by the way. Worry is our attempt to control things we can't control. It's our attempt to grab onto something that's not really there. That's what the word meaningless and vanity, which we saw in chapter one, is all over. It's 40 times in this short book. This word that's translated for us in English, meaningless or vanity. But the Hebrew word is hevel. Really simple. You can say that. Everybody say hevel. Hevel, you learned some Hebrew from me today. So just, you know, put me and Rabbi Adler not on the same level. Hevel means he described it last week as like a fog, a smoke. So that it's something that looks like it has substance, but when you try to grab it, there's nothing there, right? That's the meaning behind this word. And so it's hard to translate that into one English word, isn't it? But it's something that we think we can grab onto, and when we reach for it, there's nothing there. Just like trying to control things that are out of your control, trying to control the seasons or the weather or your aging. You reach for it, and there's just nothing there to grab onto. It's hevel, it's meaningless, it's vanity. And so the encouragement is, like, you can't control the seasons, so you can just let go of trying. You can let go of trying to manipulate and control and worry about and be anxious about the seasons of life that come on you. There's freedom in that, but it's difficult to do. For example, I think when we're in good seasons, it's tempting to fall into the mindset that this is what I deserve. This is the life I deserve. I've worked hard. I've paid my dues. Yeah, things are going great for me because I earned it, right? And if we get into that mindset, then that's a season in life, and the seasons change. And so when that season changes and something disrupts our peace, disrupts our joy, we go, well, that's just not fair. I worked hard. I earned my season of peace, and now this thing, the universe, is damaging my calm. That's not fair. Well, what do we say to children when they say, that's not fair? Life's not fair. Seasons change. Things come and go, and we don't want to get into this mindset that we deserve a life of comfort and convenience. That's never promised to us. God never said. In fact, Jesus says kind of the opposite. Like, in this world, you will have trouble. Like, yeah, we birthed two of them. You know, it's like, I love my children. They're both wonderful, especially you. Okay. We're never promised this life of comfort and convenience, and it's just a dangerous mindset to get in when things are going well. On the other hand, when things are going poorly, we recognize that's a season too, and it will change. It's not going to be forever. And this is helpful, I think. This can be comforting to recognize that this will pass. It may be that it leaves a scar, but it will get better. It will pass. You may feel like you're lonely and you're always going to be lonely, but you won't. You may feel like you're stuck in this dead-end job and you're always just going to hate your job. This is a season. It will pass. You may feel like your relationships are just chaotic and broken and it's just never going to get any better. It's just a season and it will pass. And here's the proof of that. Some of you are like, I don't know if that's actually true. here's the proof of it. Life is short. So even the season that you're in, when your life comes to an end, that season's over. And what's next for you is new creation. If you're a follower of Jesus, what's next for you is new creation, all things restored, all things made new, and whatever you were experiencing before, this season of loneliness or hardship or despair, it's over. It's going to be over at some point, even if that point doesn't come until the end of your earthly life. It is a season, it will pass, and it will be over at some point. And so that can help us kind of put things into perspective. Whatever season you're in, there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity to do something helpful with it. We were, our elders were meeting this morning and we were talking about just things going on in life. And one of the guys was saying, hey, I'm in a stressful situation. I'm really anxious about this thing that's happening. But he said what he wanted was an opportunity to do make something good out of it, an opportunity to be the kind of person who can reflect, you know, God's character through this situation. So it wasn't even asking that the situation change, but just that his attitude about the situation change so that something positive would come from this experience. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about. Like, even in this season, even when it's raining, can I find ways to bring sunshine into this opportunity? We want to try to recognize that there are choices we can make, regardless of the season that we're in, choices that can move us toward God, that can reflect his goodness to the people around us, and we can make choices about that. Everything is not dictated for us. Our attitudes and responses are not dictated. We can choose. So I think we need some perspective sometimes. I went to Chick-fil-A a few months ago, and I've been many times since then. This is just one particular experience. And they were out of waffle fries. Told me in the drive-thru, hey, we're out of waffle fries. And it was a time for mourning, a time for grief. And I wanted to say, why do you think I'm here? Like, what? Why just close the doors? I mean, if you're out of waffle fries, I don't understand why you're even open. And then I thought, I'm a spoiled brat. if no waffle fries is going to ruin my moment, then I'm a spoiled brat. And I think, because don't laugh at me, because you are too. Like, we all do this. We have things where we're like, life should be good. I've earned this. I've earned my waffle fries. I've paid my dues, you know? But it's not always like that. And the more I can learn to roll with that and embrace that tension and turn it into an opportunity, I think the more peace and joy I get to live with, and the more people kind of want to be around somebody like that. You know, you don't want to be around people who are going to get their day ruined by no waffle fries. That's just not, you know, not fun person to hang out with. So we can make these choices, I think. So let's pick up again in verse 9 and continue reading. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Yeah, so a couple things that we can point out here. This is pretty rich. There's a lot in there, but this idea that God has set eternity in the human heart. There's something in us that knows there are some things that are not supposed to change. There are some things that are supposed to last forever. And the teacher here says that the things that God does last forever. They endure. They don't go away. And I think that's in us, and so that's why we reach for stuff that we hope would never change. Like, God, I just want some certainty about the future. I want fulfillment. I want a guarantee that this vacation is not going to be a flop. You know, like, can we get some certainty? Can we get some control? And we reach for those as though those things are eternal and they're just smoke. And so we come up empty-handed, and that should turn us back to remember it's really only the things that God makes that endures forever. Love and joy and peace, right? What God makes endures forever. And this eternity in our hearts is supposed to draw us towards those things that are eternal and help us draw a line and say, things that are temporary just don't get priority in my life because they don't last. Things that are eternal are going to take priority in my life because they're going to be around forever. I think that's the healthy perspective we're being challenged to take. And so how do we know? How do we know if what we're doing with our time is about things that are going to last? So I've got just a couple tools for you. Here's one. Some of you have seen this graph before, but it's the quadrant with the urgent versus important, not urgent, not important. And the idea is you look at this and you kind of look at your week and what you've got planned, and you write things down, like what goes in which box, right? And so some of you have jobs where people bring you their problems and their emergency becomes your emergency, right? That goes in the urgent but not important to you personally box, right? And with that, we hate that box. We don't like that box. Like, I don't want your emergency to be my emergency, but it happens. Some of you have jobs that are just like that. Some of you end up doing things that are not urgent or important at all. Like, they just, it's what we would call a waste of time. And we don't like to admit that we waste time, but we do. And I'm not talking about just resting. Resting is not a waste of time, okay? Resting is a valuable use of time. We'll talk about that later. But we do things that just waste time. What we want, what we hope, is that we can get to a place where we're living in that upper right box, that we're dealing with things that are important, but they're not urgent. They don't feel like, you know, there's a lot of pressure on it or anxiety about it. So I just want to encourage you, this is a tool that you can use to evaluate your time and see, like, am I doing a lot of things that are really not that important? And am I making things seem urgent that are just not that urgent? And when we do this with an eternal perspective, understanding that the things that God has made last forever, it helps us prioritize a little better and understand which box we want to live in and where we can put most of the things that we do. John Mark Comer is a pastor and a writer, wrote a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which is a line he got from a book by Dallas Willard. But in this book, he talks about how we live at a pace sometimes where maybe you've caught yourself saying or thinking, I wish I had one more hour in the day. If I had a 25-hour day, I think I could get everything done. Or I wish I had one more. If I had an 8-day week, I think I could get everything done, right? And his encouragement is, like, obviously we can't control that. And if we did have another hour, we'd just fill it up with other things, right? If we had another day, we'd find a way to occupy that day with other things. He said, instead, why don't we look at our calendars and find ways to create some margin? Margin is that blank space on the sides of the page where nothing goes. You can't put anything in the margins. Like, when I was in elementary school learning to write, it was a no-no. If you cross that red line, I mean, the red line's there for a reason, then you got points off, right? Do you guys still write on paper? Is paper still a thing? Okay, good. I have to ask, you know? And if you've ever looked at a sheet of paper, you should try this sometime. Take the margins off of your Word document and just fill the page up with words top to bottom, no margin, and then look at that. Is that something you want to read? No, it's overwhelming. It feels chaotic. It's like, this is too much. That's what our calendars look like sometimes. They're just top to bottom, side to side, they are packed. And you go, there's no space there. Or if there is space, then it gets filled up. If you don't intentionally block it off, something will occupy that space, right? Something's going to come along that's going to fit right in that empty slot that you thought you had. So the idea is, what if you just created some margin and said no to some things? I mean, we're not talking about saying no necessarily to bad things. I assume that you're not scheduling sin, right? You're not like putting it in your calendar on Saturday morning, I'm going to lie to my wife. Like you're not putting that on your calendar, right? The things that are on your calendar are good things. They're all good things. I believe that about you. But they're not always the best things. And sometimes we let the good things get in the way of the best things. We let the temporary things get in the way of the eternal things. And so what if we could just take a different view of our time and say, you know what? I mean, God created the Sabbath for a reason. This day of rest where we spend time with God and our families and we just block that off, like there's a reason God put that in, because he knew that humans will absolutely just blitz through the days without stopping if we let ourselves. So what if you just took a time, some of you are like a whole day, 24 hours of rest. Wow, that's impossible. Well, I mean, work your way toward it. I think it is possible. And it's what God created us for, this rhythm of work and rest. Not a balance. I think a balance of work and rest is hevel. It's smoke. You can reach for it. There's nothing there. You're not going to ever feel like, my work and rest are perfectly in balance. But you recognize the seasons and you go, this is a busy season, so I better schedule some rest. I need a rhythm of work and rest. Rhythm is attainable. Balance, I think you're always going to feel frustrated. So shoot for a rhythm of work and rest. And then we have to think about it from this perspective. What if it's true that the way we spend our time reveals who we are? If it's true that the way you spend your time reveals who you are, your habits, your practices, your routines, your rhythms reveals who you are, then what is your calendar saying about you? What is it saying about you that you spend the time the way that you do? From that book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, John Mark Comer writes, "For many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it." I gotta tell you, that hits home for me. Like, it's not that I don't love God. I do love God. You love God. You believe in Jesus. You think God's word is powerful. And yet, when we're honest, we're probably not living the lives of faith that we could be, or that we sort of aspire to in our most holy moments. We kind of go, I'm sort of disappointed in myself, you know? I'm settling for something less. Not because I don't want more. It's just I get distracted. I get busy and I fill my calendar up with other things and I don't have time. I don't have time. Well, who's telling you? Who's telling you you got to fill your calendar up with these things? Who's telling you got to be at all the things and take all the pictures? And who's telling you got to do that? Some of you are like, well, my boss is telling me, so take it up with him. Well, I mean, you don't work 168 hours a week. So what are you doing with your time? How are you filling it up? Are my choices leading me in the direction of Jesus-centered living or away from it? This is what we need to do every now and then, is just step back and look at what is the direction of my life based on my calendar? What's the direction of my life? Is it Jesus-centered or is it centered on something or someone else? We often think that centering our time on people is good and healthy and right. And it is good to value and prioritize. People are good. We love people, right? All people. But if other people, another person is the center, if your life is directed, oriented around this other person, that's not Jesus-centered, right? It's a person-centered. And that's not moving you towards the peace and joy and purpose you were created for. So we need to step back and look at this. And I think one way to do that is just kind of think about death a little bit. Do you guys think about death? Okay, I do. So I've got this extension on my web browser. Every time I open a page, this pops up. It is how much time I have left before I die. So you put in your age and your weight and all your habits and all these things, and it tells you when you're gonna die. And then every time I open a new page, this pops up and shows me how much time I have left. Why? I don't know why we're laughing. My wife hates it, won't look at it. You're like, oh, that's really morbid. What is wrong with this guy? It's supposed to be like inspiring. It's supposed to make me go, man, my time is running out. Like every minute that goes by, I have less time. However long I live, that thing's got me dying at 81. I'm like, I thought I would do better than that, but you know, we deal with what we've got, right? What are you doing? Like, if it's counting down, shouldn't you take stock? Shouldn't you take a moment to go, well, what am I, these minutes and hours and weeks and months are passing by, what am I doing with them? Am I just caught in some kind of cycle that I'm just living the same, like groundhog, I'm living the same day over and over again? Or am I being intentional? Am I doing what I'm doing on purpose? Or am I just caught up in something that I can't control? So I just want to invite you to get the death clock on your, no, you don't have to do that. Some of you will, and some of you are like, never, never will I do that. And that's fine. We're different people. But I do want to invite you to look at the time audit. There's an evaluation thing, I hope, in your seats. You guys have that? It's a time to evaluate sheet. There are two sheets there. One is the information update, and I'll go ahead and plug that. If you would please, everyone, please fill that out. That would be great. But the time evaluation thing is for you to take home, maybe sit down with your family and do this. Now, this is not a desire to shame or guilt anybody. This is not, I don't want to know what you write down. It's none of my business. I don't have like targets that I'm setting for you. Like you need to have this many hours in this and this many hours in that. Nope, that's all between you and God. But I do think it's important to look at it and to take time and write down, fill it out. Maybe over lunch with your family, you fill out this evaluation thing and just to see where you are. I mean, that it's you go to the doctor for an annual checkup just to see where you are physically, right? So why not do a checkup of your time? Just how you doing? Where's your time going? What does that say about you? What does that say about what matters most to you? And when you look at it, do you see any need for change? Do you see something that you wish wasn't there, right? Most of us, when we look at our screen time, we see something that we wish wasn't there. We're like, oh gosh, do I really? Like, how much? When you start adding it up, you're like, oh my goodness. What am I doing with my life? That's good. That's a healthy process. We need to do that. And so I just want to invite you to take that home and fill that out together with your family and just see if there's any changes that you want to make. Here's why this matters. I think it's important that we're in a place where we can take advantage of the opportunities God gives us. If there's no margin in your calendar, where does God have room to move into your life and do something that you don't have planned? Oftentimes, something is going to happen in your life that will create time in a way you didn't really want that to happen. Like something is going to force you into that. So let's just choose it. Let's just be proactive and choose it because God wants us to make the most of our time, the moments that we have. Jesus talks about this in a couple examples in the New Testament when the Pharisees criticize Jesus' disciples because they don't fast. They're like, hey, we fast. John's disciples fast. Why aren't you guys fasting? You guys just aren't very holy. And Jesus says, well, the guests of the bridegroom don't fast when the groom is with them. There will come a time when they will fast, but now's not the time. We're making the most of this time, right? And another point, he looks at his disciples and he says, guys, the fields are ripe for harvest. It is time to go and harvest souls. Let's make the most of the time. And I think that's what we want. We want to be available for God to step in and interrupt our calendars and we can partner with him in the work that he's doing in the kingdom. So when we get to do that, when we have the freedom to do that, we have an opportunity then to be a blessing to people, to share what God's doing in our lives, to meet needs, just to have our eyes open to what's going on around us in a way that we can't if we're locked in on our own stuff. So I just want to invite you to examine that today. Would you stand? We're going to close with a word of prayer. And as we think through this, again, we're not looking to shame anyone. The goal is not for you to walk out feeling terrible about your time use. The goal is to say, how can I make the most of the time that I have? What changes would be a benefit, not only to me and my family, but actually probably to the other people around me as well? Can I create some space for God to move in and work through me for something that's not in my plan? Because when we're free like that, if a whole group of people like this was free to be interrupted by God and used for his glory, then that kind of thing can change a community. It can change your neighborhood. It can change your workplace. It can change your school. So I just want us to close with prayer and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us this morning. God, thank you for this challenge. It's a conversation we don't often like to have, but God, we know that you want to be active and involved in our lives, and you want us to center our lives on Jesus, and we know that our calendars and our busyness and our view of time can get in the way of that. So we pray that you would move in our hearts this morning through your Spirit, help us to see where we need to make some changes and reprioritize, do things a little differently so that we're moving in the right direction and that our lives become a blessing to the people around us. Would you do that in us and through us? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here. You're sent to be salt and light in a world that desperately needs Christ. God bless you.